Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 2. A glorious day is dawning, and o'er the waking earth, the heralds of the morning are springing into birth. In dark and hidden places, there shines the blessed light. The beam of truth displaces the darkness of the night. Hymn number 2. The scriptural this morning will be read by Janet from Georgia.
Psalm. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer. and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 5. A voice from heaven we have heard, the call to rise from earth. Put armor on, the sword now gird, and for the fight go forth. The foe in ambush claims our prize. Then heed high heaven's call. Obey the voice of truth. Arise, and let not fear enthrall. Hymn number 5. Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin every Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, which is a training session in practical Christian Science. And we did have another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, you can catch it on our website at plainfieldcs.com. And you will also be able to find it on our YouTube channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m. every Sunday. And that Sunday school has its own teleconference number. So if you don't live in the area, and if you have a child of Sunday school age, they can still attend by dialing the phone. So call us, and we'll be happy to give you the number, and we will welcome your child to the Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healing and lives literally saved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And we have a nursery for infants and toddlers available at all our services. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. We will now have the reading of a testimony of healing from miscellaneous writings, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Karen from California.
Page 447. For a long time, I have felt that I must in some way express my great debt of gratitude for Christian Science. I know no better way to do so than to give an account through the journal of some of the many blessings I have received as a result of our leaders' untiring toil and self-sacrificing love for suffering mortals in giving to us the wonderful book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. When I first heard of Christian Science about 6 years ago, I was satisfied that it was the religion of Christ Jesus, because Jesus had so plainly said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." I had been a church member since my girlhood, but was not satisfied that my belief would take me to heaven, as I did not have these signs following. And this had always troubled me. So when I heard that an old acquaintance living at a distance had not only been raised from a dying condition to health, but her life had been changed and purified through Christian Science, I could hardly wait to know more of this Christ-like religion, which was casting out evils and healing the sick. I searched every bookstore in the city for Science and Health, at last found a copy, and was delighted to get hold of it, but little realized what a treasure it was to be to me and my household. At first, it was like Greek to me, and I could not understand much of it, but gleaned enough to keep on reading and longed for someone to talk to me of it. After I had been reading it about a year's time, I suddenly became blind. I knew no scientist to go to, so went to physicians. They told me that my case was hopeless, that it was certain my sight could never be restored, and the probabilities were that I would soon be totally blind. I felt sure that Christian Science would help me, if I could only fully understand it. But there was no one from whom I could ask help. that I knew of. I gave all the time that I could use my eyes to studying science and health, which at first was not more than 5 minutes, two, and sometimes three times a day. Gradually, my sight returned until it was fully restored. During this time, God and the little book were my only help. My understanding was very limited, but like the prodigal son, I had turned away from the husks towards my father's house. And while I was yet a great way off, my father came to meet me. When this great cloud of darkness was banished by the light of truth, could I doubt that Christian Science was indeed the comforter that would lead us into all truth? Again, I lay at the point of death, but holding steadfastly to the truth, knowing from the teaching of this precious book that God is life and there is no death, I was restored up to health, restored to my husband and my little children, all of whom I am thankful to say are now with me in science. I had no one to talk with on this subject, knew no one of whose understanding I felt sure enough to ask for help. But I was careful from the first not to read or inquire into anything except genuine Christian Science. And how thankful I am for it. Since then, I have been through a class. I cannot express in words what Christian Science has done for my children or for my gratitude that the light of truth has come to them in their innocent childhood. Healing of all claims of sickness and showing us how to overcome the more stubborn claims of sin. L.F.B.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 8 of the Christian Science Quarterly. Subject, truth. Golden text, Psalms. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. The responsive reading is from 1 John. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth.
And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Dave from Florida will now read.
The Bible, Deuteronomy, Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Isaiah, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Proverbs. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. John. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness have all we received, grace and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Mark. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Matthew. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Hebrews. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Matthew. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. John. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. The time for thinkers has come. Truth, independent of doctrines and time-honored systems, knocks at the portal of humanity. Contentment with the past and the cold conventionality of materialism are crumbling away. Ignorance of God is no longer the stepping stone to faith. The only guarantee of obedience is a right apprehension of Him whom to know aright is life eternal. Though empires fall, the Lord shall reign forever. When we wait patiently on God and seek truth righteously, He directs our path. Truth brings the elements of liberty. On its banner is the soul-inspired motto, Slavery is abolished. The power of God brings deliverance to the captive. No power can withstand divine love. Jesus established his church and maintained his mission on a spiritual foundation of Christ healing. The disciples apprehended their master better than did others, but they did not comprehend all that he said and did, or they would not have questioned him so often. Jesus patiently persisted in teaching and demonstrating the truth of being. His students saw this power of truth heal the sick, cast out evil, raise the dead. But the ultimate of this wonderful work was not spiritually discerned, even by them, until after the crucifixion, when their immaculate teacher stood before them, the victor over sickness, sin, disease, death, and the grave. Yearning to be understood, the Master repeated, "But whom say ye that I am?" This renewed inquiry meant, "Who or what is it that is able to do the work so mysterious to the popular mind?" With his usual impetuosity, Simon replied for his brethren, and his reply set forth a great fact. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is, the Messiah is what thou hast declared. Christ, the Spirit of God, of truth, life, and love, which heals mentally. This assertion elicited from Jesus the benediction, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." That is, love hath shown thee the way of life. Before this, the impetuous disciple had been called only by his common names, Simon Barjona, or son of Jonah. But now the Master gave him a spiritual name in these words, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," the meaning of the Greek word petros, or stone, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell," Hades, the underworld, or the grave, "shall not prevail against it." In other words, Jesus purposed founding his society not on the personal Peter as a mortal, but on the God power which lay behind Peter's confession of the true Messiah. It was now evident to Peter that divine life, truth, and love, and not a human personality, was the healer of the sick and a rock, a firm foundation in the realm of harmony. On this spiritually scientific basis, Jesus explained his cures, which appeared miraculous to outsiders. "Truth is the rock of ages, the headstone of the corner. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Nothing but the power of truth can prevent the fear of error and prove man's dominion over error. The testimony of the material senses is neither absolute nor divine. I therefore plant myself unreservedly on the teachings of Jesus, of his disciples, of the prophets, and on the testimony of the science of mind. Other foundations there are none. All other systems, systems based wholly or partly on knowledge gained through the material senses, are reeds shaken by the wind, not houses built on the rock. Truth, through her eternal laws, unveils error. Truth causes sin to betray itself and sets upon error the mark of the beast. Even the disposition to excuse guilt or to conceal it is punished. The avoidance of justice and the denial of truth tend to perpetuate sin, invoke crime, jeopardize self-control, and mock divine mercy. The confidence inspired by science lies in the fact that truth is real and error is unreal. Error is a coward before truth. Divine science insists that time will prove all this. Both truth and error have come nearer than ever before to the apprehension of mortals, and truth will become still clearer as error is self-destroyed. Against the fatal beliefs that error is as real as truth, that evil is equal in power to good, if not superior, and that discord is as normal as harmony, even the hope of freedom from the bondage of sickness and sin has little inspiration to nerve endeavor. When we come to have more faith in the truth of being than we have in error, more faith in spirit than in matter, more faith in living than in dying, more faith in God than in man, then no material suppositions can prevent us from healing the sick and destroying error. As a material, theoretical life basis is found to be a misapprehension of existence, the spiritual and divine principle of man dawns upon human thought and leads it to where the young child was, even to the birth of a new old idea, to the spiritual sense of being and of what life includes. Thus, the whole earth will be transformed by truth on its pinions of light, chasing away the darkness of error. You may know when first truth leads by the fewness and faithfulness of its followers. Thus it is that the march of time bears onward freedom's banner. The powers of this world will fight and will command their sentinels not to let truth pass the guard until it subscribes to their systems. But science, heeding not the pointed bayonet, marches on. There is always some tumult, but there is a rallying to truth's standard. Some people yield slowly to the touch of truth. Few yield without a struggle, and many are reluctant to acknowledge that they have yielded. But unless this admission is made, evil will boast itself above good. The Christian Scientist has enlisted to lessen evil, disease, and death, and he will overcome them by understanding their nothingness and the allness of God or good. Sickness to him is no less a temptation than is sin, and he heals them both by understanding God's power over them. The Christian Scientist knows that they are errors of belief, which truth can and will destroy. Truth is always the victor. We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world.
Thank you.
Let's now sing hymn number 298. The words of this hymn were written by Mary Baker Eddy. Saw ye my Savior, heard ye the glad sound, felt ye the power of the word? 'Twas the truth that made us free and was found by you and me in the life and the love of our Lord. Hymn number 298.
The mountain stands by me.
Let's now sing hymn number 293. Rock of ages, truth divine, be thy strength forever mine. Let me rest secure on thee, safe above life's raging sea. Rock of ages, truth divine, be thy strength forever mine. Hymn number 293.
I will read from the Christian Science textbook, the scientific statement of being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because he knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that had this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure. 1 Chronicles. Remember his marvelous work that he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Amen.